Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson half-yearly results announcement conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I'd now hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Stephen Guerin. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Morena, good morning, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson's result briefing for 6 months to the 31st of December, 2019. I am Stephen Guerin, the Chief Executive Officer, and I'm pleased to provide you an overview of our interim results for the 2020 financial year. Joining me on the call this morning are Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our General Manager of Corporate Affairs, who is also our Company Secretary. I'd like to start by thanking the PGG Wrightson staff for their continued hard work and dedication and the results that we're about to talk to. On behalf of the board and executive team, thank you for that. I'll summarise the results and our trading performance, and then it will be time for questions. Before I cover the key points from our announcement, please note our financial reporting has changed as a result of the impact of the new lease accounting standard and the sale of the seed and grain business. Firstly, the new leases accounting standard was adopted from the 1 July 2019 using the modified retrospective approach, meaning the change only impacts the current period and not the comparative period's profit and loss, cash flow and statement of financial position. Secondly, the results of the sale of the seed and grain business are included in the comparative period. In addition, I'll refer predominantly to operating EBITDA, which allows us to best describe the business operations, although for the accounting-minded is a non-GAAP measure. But we'll also refer to our ultimate bottom line of net profit after tax, the formal GAAP measure. The results to note are operating EBITDA was $34.5 million, showing strong improvement over the comparative period. This includes the impact of the new accounting lease standard, which has led to an increase in operating EBITDA of $10.9 million. Excluding the new lease standard, operating EBITDA was $23.7 million, which was 33% higher than the comparative period. PGW delivered a net profit after tax of $12.8 million. In August 2019, PGW made a capital distribution to shareholders of $234 million and declared a dividend payment of 7.5 cents per share, or $5.7 million. A fully imputed 2020 interim dividend of 9 cents per share has been declared. Turning now to the individual business unit operating performances. Our agency business incorporates the livestock, wool, real estate and referral commission businesses. Trading in the first 6 months of the financial year was strong by comparison to the previous year. This was assisted by generally conducive farming conditions across large parts of the country and a mild spring that saw good feed in most regions. Commodity pricing for lamb and beef held and remained high compared to historical levels. This has been welcomed by sheep and beef farmers as commodity pricing has been driven by strong demand from China, owing to a shortage of protein caused by the African swine flu outbreak and the continued growth of red meat consumption. Confidence in the dairy sector remains subdued, with access to bank funding having become constrained together with increased environmental and regulatory pressures, creating a degree of uncertainty for dairy farmers. Whilst these dynamics are not expected to change in the short term, there has been a welcome lift in dairy commodity pricing seen in the global dairy trade auction, which has resulted in Fonterra upgrading its farm gate milk price forecast for the 2019-2020 season to between $7 and $7.60 per kg of milk solids. There has been impressive growth of the PGW Livestock's innovative Go Livestock program. The Go products were only launched as a pilot in 2015, and in December 2019, the millionth lamb was purchased under the scheme. There have also been equally impressive growth in our Go Beef counterpart. The investment in the Go product range as of 31st December 2019 was $38.6 million compared to $31 million last year. Go is an excellent example of how PGW can innovate and develop products that meet the needs of our customers. In June 2019, PGW launched its online auction trading platform, Bidr, which can be found at the website bidr.co.nz. This platform allows farmers to trade livestock from anywhere via an online auction system. Excuse me. Bidr currently has 6 accredited agencies independent of PGW, with clients able to buy and sell on the platform. The benefits of this virtual sale yard include reducing both stress on animals and farming's environmental footprint by keeping livestock on farm until it's known where they need to go, while also having biosecurity benefits. Our wool business traded solidly for the period, with operating EBITDA, excluding NZ IFRS 16, up 21% compared to the same period last year. Grower bales sold are on a par with last year, while export volumes were up 16%. There has been continuing focus on reducing costs in the business. Market conditions for crossbred wools remain challenging for wool growers. Fine wool values, whilst back on last year, remain sound compared to historical prices. Many growers have locked into long-term contracts for a portion of their clip, strengthening their profitability this season. The real estate business is experiencing reduced activity within the rural segment, but has maintained its market position and share. Challenges include constrained access to debt funding and fewer foreign buyers given the policy approach under the Overseas Investment Act and caution around regulatory and compliance uncertainty. Turning to our retail and water business. Revenue for the retail and water group was up $5 million on the same period last year. When including agency sales, the figure is down by $9.2 million, the majority of the reduction in the agency sales coming from bulk fertiliser. Banks are putting pressure on debt levels, and this has resulted in less capital applications of fertiliser. The first 6 months of the financial year are key for the retail and water group, as it generally delivers more than 85% of its full-year operating EBITDA during this period. Conditions in the horticultural sector have remained positive, and a market share leading fruit food supplies business has performed well in servicing the sector and its continued growth. The buoyant conditions in horticulture have been underpinned by solid export returns. This in turn has stimulated further investment and development, with larger enterprises diversifying their portfolios into the sector. Fruit food supplies remains well placed to benefit from growth in the sector as it builds on its reputation as the market leader and delivering technical expertise, products and services. Our field and customer services representatives are focused on helping our customers produce quality, profitable crops by assisting with the delivery of timely access to the best products and advice. In addition to our nationwide retail store network and on-farm servicing, we also have a network dedicated to trialling of new products under New Zealand conditions prior to commercial release. This pipeline ensures that our customers continue to have access to international leading innovation and brands to optimise outcomes for their businesses. Our business continues to be influenced by climatic conditions. Hailstorms in November and December have affected some of our growers in the prick fruit, stone fruit and vegetable sectors, causing large losses of crops for some growers. However, consistent rain during the spring helped to drive strong Ankiem sales with increased insecticide and fungicide sales. Our Agritrade wholesale business has continued to demonstrate growth year on year, with revenue up on the same period last year by $3.4 million, or 9.2%. This was achieved through growth in our existing range in addition to product acquisitions. We continue to source opportunities to provide distribution services for international brands, brand owners, contracting with Agritrade to distribute their products in the market locally. The implementation of our renewal program for our network of retail premises across the country has continued with improvements and upgrades implemented a number of rural towns, as well as relocation of our head office to premises on the Christchurch International Airport campus. It has been especially pleasing to see that the distribution arrangements between PGW Rural Supplies and PGG Wrightson Seeds have continued to operate seamlessly since the divestment of the seed and grain business in May last year. The seeds offering is an important part of our business, and I've been heartened by the way in which our respective teams have continued to work together to deliver seeds and related inputs to our customers, as we have always done. Trading conditions have remained challenging in some pockets of the business, with Mycoplasma bovis having an impact on dairy and beef customers. Policy changes to the application of the Overseas Investment Act and other environmental regulations have also had an impact on land values and investment decisions and capital investment into our dairy operations in particular. Access to debt capital is constrained, and this has been the most significant impact on dairy-related spend. On the positive side of the ledger, at a macro level, farming returns remain strong and the outlook is generally positive for horticulture, red meat and dairy. PGW Water business continues to face challenges given the lack of on-farm development. Changes to government policy and the discontinuation of development of irrigation schemes, together with increasing environmental regulation, have resulted in sluggish demand. Accordingly, revenue for the water business was back $7.1 million, or 34%. Challenges around winter feed management and associated animal welfare issues highlighted by the media during winter has had impact on cropping decisions. The crop most impacted has been fodder beet, with about 25% less fodder beet planted this financial year than last financial year, which impacts on ag chems and seed and grain categories as a high-value input crop. Turning to safety and well-being, we've also continued to invest in the development of our health and safety culture by implementing improvement initiatives and safer practices across our business. The Zero Incident Process, or ZIP program, across our business has assisted in delivering results. Our lost time injury frequency rate, which dropped by 35% last financial year, has decreased a further 13.5% in the last 6 months, indicating a positive reduction in the impacts of injuries. Our total recordable injury frequency rate has decreased by 2.4% for the same period. Our reporting of uncontrolled hazards as a proportion of all safety reports has doubled compared to the same period last year, which is a positive sign of a shifting culture. A current example is the investment made to put our drivers through a behavioural driving program to reinforce safer driving habits. This is a significant commitment and illustrates the proactive approach we want to take in looking after our people. Another example includes our sponsorship of Dr. Tom Mulholland and the participation in his Walk the Talk mission. We are developing our new wellbeing strategy, which will explore opportunities for our people to improve their mental and physical wellbeing and their fitness for work and what they do. I turn now to the financials. Before I talk about the financials, let me remind you the impact caused by the introduction of the new lease accounting standard NZ IFRS 16 and the result of the seed and grain sale. Firstly, the new lease standard was adopted for 1 July 2019 using the modified retrospective approach, meaning the change only impacts on the current period and not the comparative period's profit and loss, cash flow statement and financial position. For the half year to the 31 December 2019, operating leases are now recognised on balance sheet with a right of use asset and corresponding lease liability recorded. Rental payments for operating leases are now treated as interest and principal repayments within the associated depreciation on the right of use assets. The impact of this change was to reduce net profit after tax by $0.9 million or $900,000. It is important to note that this has no net cash impact and is for financial reporting purposes only. It is also excluded from our bank covenant ratios and dividend calculations. As a consequence of this change, PGW's operating EBITDA, interest and depreciation expenses have all increased. Secondly, given the sale of the Sen grain was completed on 1 May 2019, the results for the business are included in the comparative periods ended 31 December 2018 and 30 June 2019. On the statement of profit and loss, we have removed the impact of Sen grain from the respective profit and loss lines and disclosed Sen grain's results in the separate discontinued operations line. This includes the 6 months of results for the period to 31 December 2018 and 10 months of results for the year ended 30 June 2019. For the statement of financial position, or for those of us in the older set, balance sheet, the comparative 31 December 2018 result includes the seed and grain business classified as assets and liabilities held for sale. For the statement of cash flows, the comparative 31 December 2018 and 30 June 2019 periods include the seed and grain business. In August 2019, PGW made a capital distribution to shareholders of $234 million and declared a dividend payment of 7.5 cents or $5.7 million. Following these payments, PGW's net interest-bearing debt was $59.3 million as at 31st December 2019. A substantial portion of this debt, or $38.6 million, relates to PGW's investment in our Go Livestock products. Capital expenditure for the 6 months to 31st December 2019 was $4.6 million, $2.9 million less than the comparative period for the prior period. This spend has seen continued investment in information technology, including Bidr, the Bidr online training platform, and our retail technologies. Operating EBITDA for the 6 months to 31 December 2019 was $34.5 million, showing strong improvement over the comparative year's period. This includes the impact of the new accounting lease standard, which has led to an increase in operating EBITDA of $10.9 million. Excluding the new lease accounting standard, operating EBITDA was 33% higher than the comparative period as at $23.7 million. We've delivered a net profit after tax of $12.8 million for the period ended 31st of December 2019. Our cash flows from operations was an outflow of $14.9 million in the period to 31 December 19, including an increase in net working capital of $42.2 million. Net investment in fixed assets and intangibles was $4.6 million. The group arranged a new bank facilities during the period. These facilities cater for the resized business following the seed and grain sale and $234 million capital distribution made to shareholders. These facilities provide core facilities of up to $50 million and working capital facilities of up to $70 million. It's important to note this is a seasonal business and our working capital requirements typically increase significantly over the spring and into summer in line with the demand for farming inputs in New Zealand. As mentioned, we also continue to invest in safety and well-being of our people with initiatives to raise cultural awareness and safer practices across our business. Advancements have been achieved by focusing on preventative measures and initiatives as well as introducing new complementary ones to reduce the hazards and risks. We have resized our overhead structures to fit the business and will continue to look for efficiencies in our operations on an ongoing basis. As part of this commitment to recalibrate our cost base, the board has resolved to capture savings through trimming the board to 5 members and cutting out some director fees. Combined effect of these changes will result in director fee levels reducing by approximately 18% when calculated on an annualised basis. We anticipated cost savings this financial year in excess of $2.5 million post-implementation of the corporate restructure, and these are now starting to flow through into our results. Dividend. Taking into account the positive performance of the business, the board has resolved to pay an fully imputed 2020 interim dividend of 9 cents per share, a 20% increase from the interim dividend payment in 2019 on a post-share consolidation basis. This will be paid on the 3rd of April 2020 to shareholders on PGW share register as at 5 p.m. on the 6th of March 2020. Turning to outlook for the remainder of the financial year. The directors are pleased with the progress achieved for the first half of the financial year's results. At this early stage, the directors currently expect operating EBITDA from continuing businesses for the full year to be around $30 million, excluding changes due to the lease accounting standards. Directors note there are still many months of trading to complete and that there could be some volatility in earnings due to the impacts of the COVID-19 virus on agricultural trade flows. We'll continue to keep the market updated as the financial year progresses. Our 2020 year report is available on the Stock Exchange website under the PGW ticker. Finally, on behalf of the management team, I would like to extend our thanks to our customers, suppliers and shareholders, most of our staff for their ongoing support of the company. That ends the formal part of the presentation. I want to thank you for your time this morning. I'll now hand back to Christian, our operator, for any questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request at any time, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question today comes from the line of Ashton Olds from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Congrats on the improved result. Could you talk about the cost efficiencies that you sort of see coming from the water business and sort of what you've achieved so far?
Thanks for the question, Ashton. In terms of the water business, we've clearly had a result that's back year on year. $7.5 million in revenue, about 34% back in on the results. We have, through the early part of the financial year, we made some changes in terms of our structure. We have closed some sites and we have reduced our staff numbers accordingly. And we have managed our inventory levels accordingly. So we continue to monitor the business. Water is a key category for our business. Our customers, whilst we're seeing no new schemes, we have seen, still continue to see some pivot activity. We see demand for stock water in R&M, so we continue to manage the business in that context. But we have made changes around our footprint and our staff numbers accordingly. We haven't noted the demand for capital spend has reduced. Servicing demand, in fact, is up. Last year, spring summer, there was actually very little servicing done, and we've seen that demand come through this year. And the floods are in and around parts of Rokia and the lower southland areas. Have seen ongoing demand for maintenance and servicing. So I've actually seen quite strong business in that respect.
Cool. And I guess just one more question from me, just regarding CapEx. Obviously, there's a bit going into the retail stuff and Bidder. Do you think you've seen most of the CapEx for Bidder, or is there still some to come, and maybe how do we think about that going forward?
So year on year, so we noted that our spend was on CapEx was down. You may recall, if you go back to our 2019 report, we talked about the rollout of our new point of sale system for our store network. So the results to 30 June reflected that. This year, this financial year to date, the investment has been within our Bidder product we talked about. And we've got a piece of technology around our e-commerce rollout, which is the next part of the platform of our point of sale system. So that's where the spend's been. We are a different size business and we manage our CapEx accordingly in line with the balanced needs of the business and the size of the business accordingly. So,
yeah. Yeah, Ashton, it's Peter here. Just a comment on CapEx for you is the second 6 months we'll see more expenditure, actually, or more CapEx on e-commerce platforms. Yep. So just so you're aware of that.
We have an upgrade planned around our CRM systems as well, a platform change. So the second half we'll see some increased spend. but nothing above what we forecast in our results.
Sure, that's great. Thank you very much, guys.
Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press star one. Thank you. Just another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star one. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to today's presenters. Oh, sorry, we just had a question come in from Christian Bell from Jarden. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Just a quick question from me. Just wondering for the second half whether do you see a slowdown in livestock conditioning products in particular because of impacts from the coronavirus on supply chain slash a decline in red meat prices more recently?
Thanks, Christian. So a couple of parts of the answer as I understand the question. So firstly, in terms of the product range, we're actually seeing relatively strong demand for that, and it's continuing to rise. That's post the 31 December window. What we're seeing is some traders take advantage of shortage of feed conditions in the North Island, and they're taking a principal position on livestock and bringing those south with feed available. I'm talking the upper South Island as opposed to the lower South Island. The demand in that space has increased in terms of our grow product. But your second part of your question, which I think is more around where prices are at the moment, certainly they're falling, and the volume schedules are falling, and volume going through yards are much lower. I was standing in the yards myself yesterday and saw a very small yarding for what we would expect at this time of year. The supply chain is full from the meat companies, and they'll comment separately on that. But we understand that it's full. There is some signs that the supply chain is starting to move again. How long this takes to free up in the direction of the international trade markets, it could go in several directions at the moment, and we're taking a cautious approach process, and we've taken a view about that in terms of the market guidance we've given today, and we'll continue to keep the market updated as we see any changes out beyond what we're seeing today.
Cool. Thank you. And actually, just one more thing, less of a question, more of a request. Just wondering, is it possible to get the commentary? It seems like there was an updated commentary that you were using through the call compared to what was released on NZX website. Is it possible to get that more fleshed out version?
The audio file will be uploaded on our website later on today.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, that's fine then.
Thanks, Christian.
Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star one. Thank you. I think we may have a follow-up from Christian Jarden. Please go ahead.
No, there was no follow-up from him.
Your next question comes from the line of Paul Grant from PGW. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Just looking at the forecast for these 6 months, it looks like the expected operating EBITDA is not a big rise. Is that the difficulties that you're possibly foreseeing coming up?
Thanks for the question, Paul. Two things there. If you go back to our commentary and our historical results, you'll see that the retail water business unit is our largest business unit in the group, and it produces 85% of its operating results in the first 6 months. So they are locked in to the 31 December result that we saw. it's clear that the market is, there is, you know, the impact of some drought and the trading flows that we're seeing, that the market has softened a wee bit since the 31 December window, and hence we have taken a more cautionary outlook in terms of the comments that we've made. But it is largely the cyclical flow of farming patterns in the marketplace. That's the major impact in terms of the difference between the second half and first half results.
Yeah, Paul, it's Peter here. So just to clarify a couple of things for you there. So as Stephen said, 85% of retail earnings EBITDA comes from their first 6 months. And our first 6 months, if you exclude IFRS 16, was 23.7. Now, we say the forecast is around about $30 million. The majority of our earnings in the next 6 months, so to June, is actually from the livestock business unit. So that's why it really, PGW, from our total, is the retail part is a very big part of the whole year, but it's a first half year story.
Yeah, thanks for that, guys. And with livestock struggling a bit now, I guess to go any higher than 30 would be a bit risky.
In terms of our forecast, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we've taken a view of the market as we see it today, and that's why we've settled on the comments that we have. So, yeah, we will continue to monitor closely as we see. There's two things influence the result for the second half for livestock. That is, the trading patterns we see in terms of international market demand, but also dairy herd settlements. And they are in train now, and we continue to monitor those on a daily basis. It's just a bit too early to call that. But that's a domestic New Zealand market story, not an international story. And they do drive the results for the second half. They're an April, May trading window in terms of when that actually happens.
Okay, thanks very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue.
Thanks very much. And I just thank you for your time today. And thank you for listening to our story. So we're pretty proud of the results. And I just want to thank the team that have supported the business in terms of producing the results. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.